The Addiction Podcast, Point of No Return.
Hello, I'm Joni Siegel, the host of The Addiction Podcast. In 2022, over 100,000 people died from drug and alcohol abuse, and that number is growing daily. Fentanyl poisoning, pot, cocaine, heroin, and even psychedelics and alcohol all contribute to this crisis, while we're bombarded with promotions from thousands of rehabs. Newborns are born addicted, and the majority of homeless people struggle with drug addiction. Drug dealers exploit online resources to sell to teens, and antidepressant use is spiraling out of control. This podcast features brutally honest guest interviews revealing harsh realities and offering hope and solutions through their stories. We don't sugarcoat anything. Guests speak raw and real. More importantly, you'll find inspiration to understand, overcome, and achieve recovery, whether for yourself or to help others, some within your own family, many among your friends or associates. Whether you're seeking help or just a glimmer of hope, our podcast equips you with the latest insights to confront this generational battle. Many listeners tell us they want to join the fight, but do not have the time or money to act, lobby, or just help. If that's you, go to www.patreon.com/theaddictionpodcast and see how you can help. Today's episode is episode number 368, and today we have an interview with a lady named Samantha Bushika. Samantha is a survivor with a story she finds inspirational, one that has already saved lives. She celebrates 8 years of sobriety last month. She did celebrate last month, marking a journey away from a lifelong addiction to using and selling heroin. Her battle with addiction led her into an unjust justice system where she became a scapegoat in her small Vermont town's first heroin bust. Despite possessing no heroin herself, it was found in her roommate's possession. She feels she was unfairly targeted for this, and we'll ask her to tell us more about the circumstances. Let's talk to Samantha Bushika. Samantha Bushika, am I saying that properly?
Bushika, yeah.
Bushika, Samantha Bushika, thank you for being willing to tell us your story today. Now, you had kind of, you hit rock bottom, I don't know, maybe before you might have because of what happened in Vermont. Tell us about what happened there.
Well, you know, being addicted before addiction was a disease, considered to be a disease. Like, I live in a small town. Everybody knows about like the opiate epidemic in all these small towns. And I was the first person. My house was the first house to be raided by what had just formed was the Vermont State Drug Task Force. And I basically didn't have money. I didn't get caught with any drugs, but it was my apartment. I was working two jobs, going to college, and I moved in my dealer, and my roommate she had parents that had money, and she did that one night in jail, and that's it. And I went in and out of the system for 20 years.
Wow. In the battle against substance abuse, knowledge is power. And now there's a groundbreaking solution. Substance Use Prevention Education, or SUPE, SUPE. Imagine a platform that equips parents, families, and individuals with the tools they need to navigate the dangers of drugs. SUPE isn't just another website. It's a comprehensive educational platform designed for everyone. From informative articles to engaging videos, SUPE offers a wealth of resources tailored to every age group. But what truly sets SUPE apart? It's meticulously crafted curriculums developed by education professionals and substance abuse specialists. And the impact? Remarkable. In less than a year, SUPE has been embraced nationwide, becoming an invaluable resource in classrooms, homes, and communities. Whether you're a concerned parent, an educator, or someone who simply wants to make a difference, SUPE is here to help you. Visit addicted.org/SUPE today to join the fight against substance abuse and start making a difference in your community.
As the example, and yeah.
Yeah, we sometimes call that a head on a pike. Like, You know what I mean? Like the person who is the example, even though not necessarily the bad guy, if you will.
It's the truth.
So what year was that happened?
2000.
Okay. And how long prior to that had you been addicted?
I was 20. Probably I started using, first time I used heroin, I was 14 years old.
Wow.
Then I had probably 1994, 95. And then I didn't get a habit till like probably 98 when I graduated high school.
How'd you get introduced to drugs?
I was raised around drugs. They were comfortable to me, as crazy as it sounds. My mom, single mom, addicted, alcoholic, moving us around constantly, having these loud parties every night. I basically got involved with the wrong girl. That's all it took.
It's tough.
I was really smart, but
it's tough when you're around it. I mean, it's what you know. It's the lifestyle, yeah. You know.
You watch adults put it into their system so they can say what they want to say and do what they want to do and be normal. That's what they're normal. And then it kind of rubs off on you.
Right. Right. Yeah. Is your mother still addicted?
Yeah. She's an alcoholic. She still smokes marijuana, takes pills. Like, yeah, the whole nine. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Did you have siblings that also went down that same road?
Yes, I had a sister. I have a sister. She got pregnant with twins at the age of 14.
Oh, my.
Oh, and her journey went a separate way than mine did. So, but she was doing amazing, actually. She started a children's center.
Okay.
Yeah, and the girls went to college. They both have their bachelor's degrees.
Wow.
Very close, yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
And you have children, right?
Yeah, yep. They saved my life, for sure.
Okay. Definitely. So tell us how that came about. Because you were in and out of the system, you said, for...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was the cycle of hell. The guy I was seeing overdosed and died. And my best friend ended up going to jail for it, for selling him the stuff that killed him. And after that, I kind of went, like, nuts. Like, I had gotten out of jail for having an unauthorized visitor. So I went to jail for about a month and a half, and I had gotten out, and I needed rides. Our methadone clinic is an hour and 15 minutes away.
Okay.
So if you don't have a ride, you have to take this bus, and it takes you all day long to wait for everybody to dose. And like, it's very, very, very difficult. And so I was looking for a friend to give me a ride, and I was calling people, and I found a friend, thank God. And I started riding with them, and this other guy was riding with them. And what had happened was I got in trouble again for being out of bounds. And instead of sending me to jail, they put a GPS around my ankle, and I couldn't make deliveries. I couldn't sell drugs. So I, on the way home from the clinic that one day, I asked him if he wanted to make some extra money that weekend. And he said, yes. And that was the beginning of our friendship. And couple months later, I found out I was pregnant, and I didn't want kids. I was knew that my addiction was selfish, and I knew that there was no, I had watched so many women lose their children in jail, like, and it destroys them. After they lose their kids, they're a crust of the person that they once were. And it terrified me. Like, it terrified me. There's nothing you can say to them. There's no, you know, joke you can tell. There's nothing that you can do to fix that.
Right.
And I still had 3 years left, or no, 2 years at that time. So I found out I was pregnant, and I literally, we threw everything we had down the toilet and walked out of the apartment and went to the local homeless shelter and checked in. I had a 450 credit score, the clothes on my back, and a GPS around my ankle.
Wow. Sometimes the hardest thing about getting someone into recovery is getting them to agree to treatment. Bobby Newman, a certified drug counselor with 30 years experience and an over 85% success rate as an interventionist, has created a series of 12 videos that you can use right now to learn every step to get your loved one to agree to treatment. Call 866-989-4499 today and say the word podcast to get a 10% discount, or go to newmaninterventions.com and type in the word podcast for a 10% discount. The service comes with a free one-hour consultation with Bobby. Many listeners tell us they want to join the fight, but do not have the time or money to act, lobby, or just help. If that's you, go to www.patreon.com/theaddictionpodcast and see how you can help.
Yeah, it was hard. It was hard.
Now, did you get clean at that? Anymore. Did you get clean at that point, or
I haven't used since that day 8 years ago.
So we would say that was your point of no return, and the idea of having a baby in jail and then losing your child. You know, it takes what it takes. You know,
I did go back to jail though. It was a nightmare. Yeah.
Wow.
They hit me. Actually, he went to jail too because 7 months into being sober, I was 6 months pregnant. They ended up. I went to probation to check in, and it was crazy because the night before I woke up and I had this horrible dream that I was in the hole in jail, like arms around my knees, rocking back and forth, pregnant. Don't you know? I had a feeling, and I said that, and I went and they arrested me for sales and conspiracy, first sale charges in 20 years they had ever got me with. And it wasn't even technically he had made the sale, but they didn't care. They wanted me. So I sat in jail. They made me think I was going to have my baby in jail. They wouldn't even let me look at my ultrasounds. Aww. Like, come on. It was the hardest thing I've ever done, hands down. People were like, wow, you're so different. Because I cried all the time. I was just scared, you know? And they wanted my best friend is what they wanted. And I wasn't going to. I believe in accountability, you know? It's not about, oh, you're a snitch, this, that, the other. Be accountable for what you do and don't bring people that have nothing to do with your stuff into it, you know? Like, kind of,
right.
It's a principle. And so I told them early on, that's not going to happen. And I told them that I would take the charge if they released my baby's father. And they did that. And he tried so hard to take it. And I tried so hard to take it. They didn't even have anything. I got out of jail and I found out that they had no wire because it wasn't working, they said in the paperwork. And that they had, all they had was the CI. All they had was his statement, which he had sold us that stuff that morning. So, yeah, there were some bumps in the road. And then I went and got 9 months in jail when my daughter was 6 months old, because I got complacent. I guess I went to Hampton Beach, and don't you know, my luck, me and Pat are in the water, our first time away, you know, and a correctional officer from the Burlington jail is walking down the beach with her mother. I didn't even see her. Pat said to me, I think that woman's taking pictures of us. And I said, no, she's looking at the waves. And, you know, we're sober. And sure enough, 45 minutes later, FSU, which is called Field Supervisory Unit, they call me. Where are you? I'm in Dorset. I got a flat tire. I tried to lie my way out of it. Didn't work. But they could have also put me on GPS at that point. I've been doing good for almost 18 months, I think. And they literally took my daughter out of my hands and they gave her to her dad and arrested me right in front of her. And they didn't let me out. I went for 9 months.
Wow.
To max out. Yeah. And that's it. I maxed out.
And he took care of your daughter?
Yeah, he did. Yep.
And but he was clean, right?
Yep. Okay. Yep. He works. He's a really hard worker. He's a roofer. And
so you guys are still together?
Yeah. Yeah. We bought three years after the homeless shelter. I bought a $350,000 home.
Wow.
We worked hard. We did.
What were you doing for work? Just curious.
Recovery coaching. And I had an online business.
Okay.
I had a really lucrative online business selling on Poshmark and like all my old stuff and like, you know, stuff that I had attained while I was selling drugs or whatever. I just kind of want to get rid of it.
Got it.
So, yeah. And he's a roofer, so he makes good money.
Cool. And you have more children now?
We have our 7-year-old daughter, Micaiah, and we have our 3-year-old son, Malachi.
Very cool. Very cool.
And they are they're my besties. I lost all my friends when I bought my house for some reason. I don't know.
Okay. Strange.
Yeah, people don't like it when you stop making it so easy for them to look good. That's what it boils down to.
Interesting. You know? Interesting. Because then they kind of have to look at their own life and maybe see why. Yeah, I get it. I understand. Yeah. So do you still do recovery coaching? Is that still the primary?
Yes, I'm also a certified life coach. I'm a Reiki 2 practitioner. I do crystal and sound healing. But I started a blog called Progressing Not Perfecting. I couldn't find any drug addiction blogs. There's like tons of alcohol, you know, some a lot of it was alcohol based. I couldn't find any when I was using. I actually looked for a blog from with somebody that had been addicted to heroin or, you know, some kind of drug other than alcohol. Right. And I could never find any. And I've still been looking. I know it's hard because, like, if you I've taught myself all about the SERPs and keyword research. And so they're probably buried in there somewhere, but I haven't been able to find any.
Wow.
Yeah. They're like,
because we don't blog. We have a podcast, but blog.
Exactly. So yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So there's a need. But, you know, I think I said in one of my posts that I understand now why I can't find any because of the way we're treated.
You are listening to the Addiction Podcast, Point of No Return. For more information on the podcast or to reach out if you have a story you would like to share with us, go to our Facebook page by the same name, or you can email us at theaddictionpodcast@yahoo.com. Or go to our website, theaddictionpodcast.com. And please remember to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts and give us a 5-star review.
I understand. But,
yeah, I'm also a sober curator for the sobercurator.com. They're a recovery. That's an amazing website. I don't know if you've checked it out.
Sober Curator?
Yes, the Sober Curator with Elise Bryson. It's an amazing, they have over 1,000 articles. Like, it's, we all write for it. We're all sober curators.
Okay.
And it's very, I love that website.
Is it a website that you think would be valuable to people who are going through addiction or who have friends? Okay, good.
Absolutely.
Thesobercurator.com. Yep. Okay, good.
I have links on my website too, so you can.
And what's your website?
SamanthaBashika.com.
Okay. And for those listening who can't see it, her name is Samantha and her last name is Bushika. Awesome.
Our missions are all similar. We just want to help people build a sober community.
Exactly.
You know, I envision a place where people, like, if you are in support one day, you need support, you get support. If you want to support the next day, that's okay too. Yeah. It's harder than I thought, but I'll get there.
Well, there, you know, one of the reasons we do the podcast is to try and get rid of the stigma, because there's so much stigma attached to whether you call it substance abuse disorder or drug addiction. There's so much stigma attached to it. And what a lot of people don't understand if they haven't been through it is that, and I'm preaching to the choir, so I apologize, but, you know, when you're addicted to drugs, it's physical, mental, and spiritual. And it, for 99.9% of the people, no, you cannot just stop. You get sick. It's physically going to cause you to be super duper sick. And yes, we've talked to some people who just cold turkeyed it and got off, but the few and far between, because it's, it's brutal.
It does. And it causes a cycle. Like I've always had this, like, I think that they don't focus on employment. And that was one of the biggest barriers to my, like, I had only been to rehab twice. They never sent me. I went on my own 2 weeks and 2 weeks. But I would get out of jail and they'll have an apartment. Cause in Vermont, if you don't have a place to live, if you're homeless, you're going to jail if you're on parole or furlough, which is ridiculous. I spent 20 years going in and out of jail for petty, nonviolent drug related crimes that are some of them are no longer criminal.
Wow.
They can't take that back, you know?
Yeah.
So they'd say, here, you have an apartment. You have 30 days to pay rent. I would go home after doing all that jail time to an apartment with just a phone and a roll of toilet paper, if I was lucky. So you're sitting in this apartment, like, okay, what now? You can't go anywhere. You're stuck there. You don't even have a TV. Nobody can come deliver you anything because that's an unauthorized visitor. So you get out. I would always hit the ground running, and I would make it to day 25 every single time, going to all the same places in this small town. People literally, like, I walk in, they know who I am.
Right.
I was on the front page of the paper. They would make such a spectacle out of me, you know, but I never, ever lost hope. And I just kept pounding that pavement. And day 25, what am I going to do? I'm either going to make a job. I would always say, I'm not going to use. I'm going to do this. I'm going to flip it, make enough money for this month's rent, and I'm not going to use. And yeah, I'd buy myself a couple more months' time, but at what cost, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was a cycle. I can't even tell you how many times I did it.
Are you still in the same town or did you move away?
Yes. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what I was thinking.
There are other places to live. I'm just saying.
I know. I shouldn't have stayed here, honestly. Like, it is hard, but I feel like, you know, this is what we all face. We all face this, and we shouldn't have to run away with our tail between our legs.
That's right.
Okay. So I'm standing loud and proud in this town, and I'm saying we can recover. This is what happens. Like, we can do it if we have the right support and we have the right systems in place. Now, wouldn't you think that the local newspaper that trashed me for 20 years would want a piece of the success story? No.
It's not interesting to them anymore. I'm very familiar with newspapers. Yeah. They don't want the good news, Samantha. They want the bad news. They want to know the bad things you did. They don't want to know that you're doing okay now. My dad once said that.
Yeah. He said, they don't care, Sam, what you've done or what you're doing. They care what you did.
That's right. That's exactly right. They're all about the negativity. They don't want the good news. That's never going to happen.
Yeah, they don't. It's sad.
Okay, so if people want to reach out to you, they can reach out to you at SamanthaBushica.com. And what was the name of your blog again?
It's Progressing, Not Perfecting. And they can actually just email me at support@SamanthaBushica.com.
Progressing, Not Perfecting. And the blog, I assume, is on your website.
Yeah, okay, that's perfect. What it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yep. Okay, go ahead.
I accept people's stories. Like, I have a UGC section. It's called Unheard Voices. And I accept, you know, people's writing, drawing, whatever represents your addiction. Or it's, you know, I call it a personal development website because it's personal development, addiction recovery. I'm addicted. You know, my journey has been spiritual also. I used the law of attraction to get sober. I didn't go to AA. I didn't go to NA. You know, I just started changing small things.
Right.
And I want to help other people do that too.
That's awesome. I think that's great. Words of wisdom, Samantha, what would you say to people who are going through this and having similar troubles to yours? What would you tell them?
Well, I think that for me, a lot of my recovery has been helping others. For instance, most people would get triggered. I volunteer for the Massachusetts Overdose Prevention Hotline. And anyone can call that too. They have a website. It's Massachusetts Overdose Prevention Helpline.com. And people will call and they'll be talking about their using and whether, you know, if they can, they're trying to get a vein or whatever. And it's like, it doesn't faze me at all. Because I know that what I'm doing is saving lives. Like, that helpline, it saved someone's life that I really care about. That's very important to me. And she would have died if it wasn't for that helpline. And I'm just trying to get that message out there. Like, if you're using alone with everything that's in that heroin now, like, you can't do that. Mm-mm. Call us. We'll hang out with you on the phone while you do it. And then we'll call emergency services.
Yep.
So I would tell them, this is what I would tell them. Never give up. That's it.
Yep.
Like, never give up, because if I can do it, anyone can.
I love it. Samantha, thank you for talking to us today. I think your story is impactful and I think it's real, and that's what people need to hear.
They do. I agree. You as well. You guys have done such a good job.
Thank you.
I watched like a lot of your episodes, not all of them. You guys have a lot.
Yes, we do.
It's what is inspiring to me is that you guys say you haven't been touched by addiction and you're still doing this. You're still meeting with us. You're still listening to people. That's amazing.
Well, as long as people go through it like you had to go through it, it's not done. It's not over. And it's going to take all of us.
No, it's not. Yeah. Definitely not. You're right.
Can't walk away. Now that we've started, we can't walk away. It's just, no. It is what it is.
We're saving lives.
Exactly. Thank you, darling.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening today. I think that Samantha's message is impactful. She mentioned giving me a phone number for the Massachusetts Overdose Prevention Helpline, and it is an 800 number, so no matter where you are, you can call it, 800-972-0590. Once again, her website is SamanthaBushica, BUSHIKA.com. Her blog is Progressing, Not Perfecting, and yeah. We'll be back again with another interview next week.
You have been listening to the Addiction Podcast, Point of No Return. For more information, reach out to us on Facebook or go to www.theaddictionpodcast.com. Our email is theaddictionpodcast@yahoo.com.